that we are going to have the difficulty of having adopting a program. The problem is that you get communications from the people who are programming almost on a daily basis, which have impact in terms of the program which we are having, which all we have agreed upon. And those communications are not for consultation. They are telling you this is what will happen, when, and so on. You just have to change the program. So it becomes difficult to have a program. So it might, like, you will always change the program from now and from time and time again, and so on. But the issue which we need to talk to, we have tried to consult with the members. We are in a difficult position because initially wanted to use Tuesday and Wednesday, because we are not going to make it to use only one day, Tuesday, the time allocated. And it will seem that, if I'm correct, the majority of members, they are those who are committed on Wednesday. They are unable to attend the committee members. Now, I know that Friday is not a nice day to work, but we have to resort to go back to Friday, because most of the members are not available Wednesday to attend the committee meeting and so on. So I'm sure it's a problem we'll have until maybe we finish the budget presentation by the SOEs and also DOCs and GCIS and so on. So you'll bear with us, members. I'll give you an example. On the 8th, we're supposed to have DOC. But we have received a communication which says the formal tabling of strategic plan in Parliament will be the 9th of March, which means we have to shift DOC from the 8th because they can't present before a formal tabling their strategic plan in Parliament. Now we're shifting DOC to the 11th, which is Friday, of the same Tuesday, and so on. So those are the problems which we are having, but we have to rework the program. I hope by next week, Tuesday, when we meet, we'll be able to rework the program and see what else will be coming when we come back from our constituency period after the 8th of April and so on. But I just wanted to highlight that, member, so that you don't think that we, some of us, we are bored. We don't have things to do on weekends. We enjoy to be here. The circumstances in terms of the workload, and that some of you in the main, you are not available Wednesday. That will be that, members, but we'll come with the redraft program Tuesday. So that I didn't want that we do the redraft before we engage on this discussion and so on. I hope that will be acceptable, members. We'll be able to push our work. Thank you very much for your understanding, as always.
Are you ready?
I'm sure members will remember that this is a follow-up presentation by ICASA. When they came and present their annual report, the committee was not happy around the issue of the audit, on the side of the audit, part of things. In terms of your systems, which you indicated yourself, weaknesses and so on, that you are unable to do certain things. And the committee requested that you go back and work out and come back and present how do you deal with those issues, how are you correcting those weaknesses or challenges in the system and so on. So we are continuing with that discussion. But we are presenting in terms of how to deal with that particular challenges and so on. Welcome, ICASA, Chairperson Dr. Mnube, your team. I can see your team is here. You see, sometimes you interview people and appoint them, and then you forget about them, that they are councillors, because they don't often come to Parliament. But I can see one councillor, Dr. Masha Sotsikwa. If there's another councillor which has not appointed, it means it has not come to Parliament. You must start to come to Parliament so that we know, not when they come for interview, then if they are done, then they go and sit somewhere in Joburg and not come back and so on. But you are welcome and your executive members, the audit committee members, which are also here, our ever-present media, and also the stakeholders in the industry and so on. Over to you, Chairperson.
Honorable Chair.
No, I'm told that I forgot DOC, that is also here. And also the most institution which assists us most of the time, PMG, in terms of following what we are doing here. We are also most welcome. Chairperson.
Honorable Chairman, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, and distinguished members of the media, and all protocol observed, allow me to first and foremost thank the Chair and the Portfolio Committee for according us this moment to come and explain our problems that were inherent in our past presentation. Before I enter into that, I just want to apologize. For us, we misdirected. We went to the other building and would have really appreciated to be here and have a libation with you before you chisel us. But unfortunately, we went to the wrong place. But now we are back in time. I just want to say to our honorable members of the Portfolio Committee that we cherish your input that you made when we made a presentation here. It was an eye-opener, and it helped us to really sharpen our bows and arrows as we move forward to establish a very good and re-engineered, you know, ICASA. Without those comments, I don't think we'd be sitting here and comfortably sitting here to present, you know, the progress that we have made, you know, since we have sat here. I just want to also tell our honorable members of the Portfolio Committee that we had a very successful strategic plan, and I'm sure with time we will come back, you know, to really unpack that in a more excellent way to you. ICASA is really getting to be engineered in a more accelerated manner. Issues such as ensuring effective participation by the industry, it's happening ever so often, literally every week. There is an operation that comes to our office to present their position. We intend at ICASA, we have taken it upon ourselves to visit some of these areas so that we must be very conversant with where industry is going. Equally important, I've been also visiting the consumer area. I've been to places like Orania to look at the areas of disabilities, you know, disability people, and what are their needs. So you can see we are taking a very, very, very positive and holistic, you know, approach to all of this. Your concern that you brought to our attention, we adopted a short-term intervention. The corporate government issues which were lacking, we have appointed an excellent, excellent corporate secretary, Maximilian, who is with us today. And the level of effort that she has put forth to restate those things was very good. The role clarification of governance structures is taking place in a very nice way. We are harmonizing the head office with its regional corporate offices. It's no longer ICASA at headquarters, and then in the region you find some another monster that is not ICASA. So that harmony is pronounced. We are developing a matrix on the audit and general report. The progress, you know, report was submitted on 20th of December to you, but this was just an outline. But today we are going to really, you know, unpack that in a more excellent way. The long-term interventions that we have done is a wrapping of funding for ICASA, the activity-based, you know, costing model, which is called ABC, is also being developed. The strategy on the allocation of frequency spectrum to support development goals, that is also underway. We are in the process of appointing an international research entity to look at the spectrum, because anything that deals with convergence, spectrum is going to be in the epicenter of that. So it is upon ICASA to make sure that we fully understand that area. Positioning ICASA in the SADC region, we know that most of the operators that we regulate also operate in SADC. So it means that we at ICASA must not just lead carelessly, but we must work with our fellow regulators in the SADC area. And I'm pleased to tell the Portfolio Committee that as from March 31st, 2010, I will be chairing CRASA AGM, which combines all of SADC regulators, and it also combines the postal component into one umbrella. And you are cordially invited to attend, you know, this a gathering, because it will be really a momentous occasion for ICASA when we assume this leadership role. We have also, at first, you know, there was a refusal to utilize ARC members as part of a technical team. Now, today, as I'm speaking, the member of ARC is with us here to show that we are also working glove and hand with them. We are taking their comments very seriously, and when they give their comments, we try to unpack them. Now we are going to have a first technical team meeting, which will be held on the 23rd with the ARC. Now my story ends here. These people were paid to come here, so they must do some working as well. I think I've done my part.
I was about to ask you, but why are you bringing these people just to sit and listen to you again, whereas we are talking ICASA?
In the ICASA team, I have right next to me here this young man. I educated him partially in the U.S. They were part of this 76 radical boys, but they have now distinguished themselves, and here he is sitting next to us, brilliant young man. He is our CEO, and his name is Manta Dlamini. Temba Dlamini. I call you Manta because you have strength. Yeah. Next to you, introduce the rest. You have Marcia, the only troublemaker, but extremely brilliant. And every time I say something, he makes sure that it is said correctly. And I really, really appreciate the input that he has been making in council. She has lifted council into a faculty of regulators, which is what I said when I came here, that in 10 years' time, before I drop dead, ICASA will be a faculty of excellence in regulatory element. And I can assure you, we are moving along those lines. Okay, over to you.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. Just the process, I just need to know how much time do I have, so that I'm not being called to order. The last time I took a lot of your time. So can the chair guide me in terms of my time.
How much time do you need?
Okay, the chair, we've got two sets of documents. I will try to spend an hour on both of them. But depending on the nature of how you want me to proceed with this process.
You've got 40 minutes.
40 minutes. That's fine. Before I start with my presentation, can I introduce Tubani Musua? He's the Chief Financial Officer at ICASA. The presentation is divided into two parts. In your pack, you have received the Auditor General metrics, and then this part is the component whereby there are certain issues that were raised in the annual report that are not necessarily covered in the Auditor General metrics. And then you'll find also that there are some areas that are reconcilable between the AG's metric and this particular presentation. Now, if members recall, if you look at the 2009-10 annual report, and I've made reference to page 3.1, where there was an issue around the role of the CEO and the relationship between the CEO and the members of the Audit Risk Committee. Now, the CEO has left at that time. So we have closed that chapter because there was an issue in terms of how to deal with those particular relationships. So now that the CEO has left, we have taken an approach to say that let's look at all these other issues going forward. That is the approach that we have adopted. So the subsequent slides are really an indication of the path that we are going to travel after I was appointed on the 1st of November. And then we have also made sure that the issues that were raised by the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee around the relationship and also poor leadership with respect to the finance component, CFO, the internal audit, and the CEO. You know, the executive managers have been taken through a developmental program on the corporate governance. And then currently, the almost all the general managers are undergoing an executive development program. Now, we also wanted to make sure that we harmonize the relationship between the ARC and the Finance Committee. So what we have done is to ensure that in terms of the quality of the reports, financial reports, or anything that has, that pertains to finances, we have ensured that we put a verification process in place, meaning that the risk general manager would obviously have a look at the finances before they are being presented to the council. And before even they go to the council for approval or for consideration, they will go through the Audit and Risk Committee. Just by way of indicating this particular verification process, the metric document that we have was also verified by the members of the Audit and Risk Committee. So they have validated and verified what we have indicated in terms of the AG's management. Now, we also continue to say, what are the interventions that I need to introduce to harmonize this relationship in terms of the quality of the reports, the financial reports? We have established a budget and finance subcommittee which reviews all the financial reports before they get submitted to the Audit and Risk Committee and subsequently to the Council for consideration. I've already touched on the issue of the quality assurance. What is also important that was raised in the annual report is that our predetermined objective or the performance information were not clearly defined And we have made sure that the risk manager, the general manager, would obviously look at all the predetermined objectives per our core divisions and also our support services, and then ensure that they are measurable and they are also time-bound, and you can at least rely on the information. And if the Auditor General wants to verify that information, that can be verifiable. The Internal Audit has also executed the risk-based operational plan so that we can improve on the internal problems that we have. Now, the heart of the qualification is the revenue around spectrum. That is the heart of it. The others are mainly emphasis of matters. This was the heart of it for the last 2 years. So we have introduced, I've introduced a dedicated team together with the support of the AFC technical team, including the member here from the audit committee, to zoom into how we need to manage the whole issue of the spectrum management. Because you will recall that the AG could not place any reliance. Because at the time when the AG was doing its investigation, there was no information or information that was presented to the AG was inadequate. And as a result, they could not make any findings or express an opinion. So there is a dedicated team that is currently looking at that particular. But there has been some improvements. And in the metric document, you will see what improvements we have made. On this one, it's about also the CFO and the finance department. Again, this is around those issues that the chairperson of the AFC raised, and we are basically saying at the time when we wanted to initiate a competency level management process in that particular component, the Department of Communication at that time when I joined, they had already kick-started an audit on the control environment. So that actually held us a little bit back. So we wanted that particular process to be completed. And I think it has been completed. We are just awaiting a final report from the consultant that was appointed by the TOC. And the CFO, in terms of his capabilities, we have looked at the individual plan of the CFO and come up with interventions of how we can improve on this, those particular areas that he needs to be strengthened. And the human resource is also looking at the competencies within that department or finance and then come up with some measures as to how we can improve in terms of their competencies. You will also realize that when Tubani joined the organization, already there were already some challenges in it. But without necessarily going back to the past, we said, let's look at what is currently available and what is it that we can do in terms of the competencies of those particular individuals. We will also look at whether some individuals that where you find a mismatch between what the job requires and what they are capable of doing, try to take them through a reskilling type of program in the finance department. Now, again, in terms of the role of internal audit, here what we have done is in terms of strengthening that particular component, we had also facilitated, there were several workshops that were put in place to just facilitate the effectiveness of that particular component. And again, as I've highlighted in my initial remarks, that the majority of the senior management are on an executive development program, and this also applies to the internal auditor. And in the past, the internal audit, there were some problems in terms of reporting. Those reporting lines have been cleared, and I have also endorsed them in terms of the way I've actually seen them. So on the leadership and governance, again, I'm still on the AFC Chairman's report. There was an issue around governance and leadership, and we are saying the appointment of the corporate secretary would obviously enhance the issues pertaining to good corporate governance in the organization, and her appointment will try to steer the organization in such a manner that at the end of the day, the Castle Council should be able to know that what is the outside use of the responsibility. Now, What has happened going forward in as far as some of the issues that the chairperson raised was that the time when the comments were made was that the CFO had a draft action plan, and at the time he did not implement. But the technical team had a look at the technical plan. The technical plan the action plan that the CFO had to work on was primarily around the control environment as informed by the National Treasury Regulation. So now we have a plan that they have endorsed, and obviously with continuous monitoring and evaluation of that particular activity, the technical team will provide that particular support. And if there are any red flags, they will obviously, through my participation, raise it to the council and see what sort of measurements we need to take into account. So that is the stopgap for the interventions we have introduced since my appointment on the 1st of November. So, Chairperson, that and honourable members, that concludes the first part of my presentation. Now, can you go to, if you allow me, Chair and honourable members, to the metrics? Because as I've indicated in my earlier remarks, the presentation has two components. Now, the metrics deals with
you see, the problem we're talking about the metrics, but we're looking at fire tanky, tanky, thank you.
No,
my apologies, Chair, as I said, there are two parts of the presentation. This is the second part, as I said. I started at the back. Okay. Now, the heart of the why we are here is the actual metrics. Now, I'm assuming that this one. Okay. That's a bit fine print, but excuse me. We will see how we proceed in that manner. Now, the members will recall that.
Maybe before you proceed, I just want to check, do members have the metrics presentation?
Yes.
Because it does not have to. Okay, no, it's fine. You can proceed.
Okay. Now, in December, we presented a progress report. And today, we are going to indicate the actual status of the management plan. Now, if one does a quick calculation of the number of findings, one will find that there are 37 findings that the AG has made. Now, out of those 35 findings, 95% of them have been completed and resolved. The 5% that is remaining can be attributed to policies that still need to be finalized before the end of the financial year, and then the second point that can be attributed to the remaining 5% is around the issue of spectrum. Whilst we're zooming into the revenue spectrum issue, we still need to be comfortable before the end of the financial year, and when the auditors, well, the auditors are already on site, the preliminary letter that we will receive from the auditor, they will then indicate to what extent have we been able to deal with this particular problem. But when the auditors look at the closing balance, because the debate was the closing balance and the opening balance, now we can confirm that at the time when they look at the closing balance for the previous financial year, that information was verified and it was considered accurate. Now, with that brief introduction, Chair, we can look at the issue around payment that has to be made within 30 days. This is an issue that was raised, and the response that we have provided, and which now we have completed, is that ICASA is now paying all their service providers within the stipulated period, as defined in the National Treasury Regulation. Two is also, we have, in terms of verification, put a tracking system to make sure that the payments we have what we call maybe in accounting first in, first out type of approach, and last in and first out, meaning that invoices that are accurate, we will pay them according to that particular methodology. And we have also centralized all the invoices into the supply chain area. In the past, they were all over the division. So those are the control measures that we have put in place. Now, with regard to the transaction recorded in the accurate accounting period, this is basically around the area of when do you close the books, because before the end of the financial year, there is a rule that you have to close the books so that you do not have continuous commitments. And in this case, what we have done is that orders in respect of tenders that were awarded for the 2010-2011 financial year, the end of February this year, we are closing the books, meaning that there will not be any tender that will be entertained after the 28th of February. So that at least starts to address some of the problems. Now, on the finding that looks at the auditor's inability to verify the valuation and existence of Spectrum trade receivable and corresponding payable or to the the national revenue. Again, I think I have made this remark about the closing balance and the opening balance. And I've already indicated that the closing balance on the National Revenue Fund were verified as of the 31st of March 2010, and that has been confirmed by the AG to be correct. So that's where we are on that one. But I should also indicate there are still challenges that we need to deal with. I'm not saying the chapter is closed on Spectrum revenue management. There are still some challenges. Non-compliance with Treasury Regulation 17, uncleared revenue suspense account. We are saying here that, one, we are clearing the suspense account on a monthly basis, because that's standard practice in terms of the National Treasury Regs. And then two, the control that we have put is to do a continuous follow-up on the suspense account. The finance division has a dedicated champion that does this particular follow-up, so that we make sure that come month end, we are dealing with a particular anomaly. And then in terms of the relationship that we have with the banks where we have our accounts, we have then also instructed the banks that they should reject any customer deposit unless there's the correct reference. Now, what has happened is that sometimes the AG, maybe to just clarify that, the AG's argument would be do not raise a debt if you cannot recover it, because then it distorts your revenue. But now, the challenge that we had here was that you'd find that money gets received, but there's no reference. So now, in order to deal with that, as a stopgap, we have then informed NetBank to say, no, anything that does not have a reference with the licenses is each, because they use the license number. But with the others, money just gets deposited, but there's no reference indicated. So in that regard, we have said to NetBank, they must just disregard it. So on our side, it will always either show the old figure and not the new distorted figure. In terms of the indicators disclosed in the business plan, again, this is around the predetermined objective, or what is normally referred as performance information. Now, we have gone through a workshop one with the AG to make sure that all the performance information and predetermined objective, one, they are measurable, as I said. You can also look at, are they achievable? And then the answer is, yes, they are achievable. But you need a framework to be able to design those particular performance indicators. So a policy around predetermined objective has been approved, and obviously we will look at that policy to guide the organization going forward in terms of their predetermined or performance information. Now, it is quite clear that in the near future, all organizations, public entities, national organizations, finance will not be the only point that they will be audited on, even the predetermined and performance information. And if your performance information is incorrect, that is an automatic qualification. So this is a way of trying to avoid those kind of challenges. Okay. Bank reconciliation, on that one, we can say safely say that the recalls are done on a daily basis. That's one on the, specifically on the main account and the National Revenue Fund. And then also, the organization receives its bank statement electronically, and on that basis, we do the recall. In terms of controls that are not in place to ensure complete and accurate disclosure of commitment, we have come up with a system whereby we analyze on a monthly basis all the commitments so that you do not have this particular anomaly. So that we have addressed successfully and we are quite satisfied with it. But again, when the auditors come, they will do a test and see if we have actually addressed it. So depending on what will be the outcome of the next management letter. Consolidated plan for 2009 and 2010, we have addressed those issues. That one is completed. No approved policy for organizational performance reporting system. The council, as I've said, has looked at the information policy on the 18th of January, and now it is in line with National Treasury regulations. The other finding was around advances not reconciled after 14 days. Okay, here we are saying we have to revisit our S&T policy. One, to make sure that we are not short of meeting this particular requirement. Now, again, with the agencies that are assisting us, like RENIS and all that, we have also requested that they also realign their systems in order for us to meet our deliverable. So in the progress report, members will see that we have a note in as far as that particular finding is concerned. And the S&T policy will obviously be aligned according to those points that we have made. Purchase orders that were made were authorized after the invoice. Now, all procurement requests in the past were being done on a divisional basis. All of them are going through the supply chain. But the supply chain becomes the point of entry to clear all the inadequacies in terms of procurement processes. So that we have addressed. And then the unable to verify the existence of assets. Now, on all assets at head office, at regional level, all the other issues pertaining to the assets, we have all addressed. There were cases where, in the terms of the IBA, SATRA, there was issues of wrong power coding and as a result, so that has been collected. There were also cases whereby confiscated equipment were mixed up with our assets, so we have done a separation. So that has been addressed. So that whole section around assets, I can say, Chairperson and honorable members, we have completed and successfully resolved. We can also go to the section that deals with control weaknesses identified around capturing of leave. Again, we say all leave requests in terms of annual sick leave are captured electronically, and we monitor the electronic system that we have introduced. So the system allows you to, if you apply for leave, it can indicate how many leave days you have, and then even the person who approves it can, before this is being approved, if you are in the red, it will kick it out automatically. Monthly payment certificates not submitted by management, we have introduced that particular certain processes to deal with that, and we have completed that. It's an area that we continuously manage, but for now, in terms of that finding, I think we have satisfactorily dealt with it. cell phone allowances granted to staff members who do not qualify. That's an area that we're saying, yes, there is a policy that may have to be reviewed in terms of people that make motivations around being allowed the usage of certain packages through the revised cell phone policy. We can address that particular issue. So that policy is one of the 5% that I was referring to, that the 5%, if the policy such is approved, then it reduces the remaining 5%. Remember, I said 95% has been achieved, and I have the other 5%. So I'm just making a note of it. Fees not collected from licenses. Now, when the finding was made, because I interrogated this finding since I joined ICASA, the finding was made on a wrong on an old regulation. But we have then engaged the AG and we have rectified, because the finding, as I said, it was made on the regulation, and there was also an issue around the definition of hindsight. But again, we have looked at that particular finding, and then going forward, we are saying, if you look at the note that says, during the period of March 2009, we published a general license fee regulation, and as a result of which the relevant licenses have begun to pay license. So that's the control measure we introduced to address that particular finding. Now, on IT security policy or all IT related matters, the members will see the targeted date is March. That is the 5% I've been referring to. That is still outstanding. So I will not go into details in as far as the IT, the information system is concerned. We'll probably take during the question period, I'll clarify some of the issues. We can then move to. We can skip the whole section of IT and then go to the lack of user account management processes spectrum. Again, we have addressed that one, and we can safely say that particular finding for now that we have satisfactory answer. The lack of service level agreement. We have put in place a Metrofile contract system in place, and also a VIP service level in place, and this was also submitted to the Auditor General. If we go to purchases and payables, now in this case, we are talking about invoices only signed to effect tender payments. Now, the corrective measures that we have taken, again, is in the supply chain area, is to design a progress report to monitor some of the projects in terms of the milestones, so that for every payment that you make, you look at the contract and what milestones they have, then you pay on the basis of that. Lack of review of contracts. In this case, the way we have addressed it, we are saying the existing contract clearly stipulates an initial contract period of 24 and will continue indefinitely thereafter until. So in other words, we when we looked at this particular finding, we had a debate with the AG, but we came to an agreement that this particular finding at this stage is not really applicable. Okay, on employee costs, I think I can say, Chair and honorable members, that we have done everything under that particular section, except to say that on the pay progression in place, there is a proposal that we have put in place in terms of total cost to company, where you are able to migrate people from the current system. I mean, just to be honest with the members here, you do find managers that are part of the bargaining unit, and as a result, it becomes quite difficult to manage when there is a strike. So the total cost to company is an instrument that we are introducing. We have made it part and parcel of the negotiation with the union to migrate that cadre of senior managers. So that is one of the items that I can say falls under the 5% category. And then the same applies with the non-compliance with the petty cash. Here, Chair and Honourable Members, is around the revision of a policy around the petty cash. Again, this one will be completed mid-March, and it's also part of the outstanding 5% I referred to in my introductory remarks. Chair, that ends my presentation. I think within the time. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Am I correct? CEO.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. Okay. Well, that's what we are going to call it too. Honorable Michael, Honorable Van der Berg, Honorable Tambi. Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's a real pleasure that we have in Parliament. We can congratulate people on a job well done. And I really must say that, CEO, your presentation and what you've been doing is very impressive. And I see your partner in crime sitting next to you, nodding his head and smiling, and you do have a lot to be very happy about. And it's also, Chair, it's very
don't say it too loud, you might ask for a raise.
Might get a big head or a raise. Be part of the bargaining council. But, Chair, also, it's a real pleasure to have a document given to us. A, in time, which in Parliament is very rare, and B, with things set out so clearly that it's understandable, even for those of us that aren't accounting wizards, we can see exactly step by step. You've got timelines, you've got who's in charge of what, and it really is. It's a very impressive step forward, and it's a very encouraging sign, and I congratulate you for that. I just want to ask two questions. The asset confiscation that happened, before they said that you were putting it on the fixed asset register, and then, you know, you thought that you had stock when in actual fact you didn't because it was confiscated stock. Now it's being kept separately, but I'm assuming that there's a special registry for that because, of course, you don't want the situation where you're confiscating stock, putting it in a storeroom, and then someone's just letting it disappear sort of, you know, as time goes by. So what kind of regulation have you got now over that confiscated stock because it's not on the fixed asset register anymore? And then just another, which I'm sure you are doing, I just want confirmation that you are doing this. When your bank, NetBank, I believe, rejects the debits that don't have the correct references, are they letting you know that money was attempted to be paid into your account? Because you don't want the situation, again, where at the end of the month, money isn't coming in from people who are actually legitimately paying, but perhaps have the incorrect reference. So, you know, you don't want a situation where you cut off your nose to spite your face, sort of, you know, letting good money just be sent back. So what kind of check and balance mechanism do you have for that?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to echo what Honourable Michael said about the new ICASA. And I want to congratulate you. I'm not sure what is going on. Last week I congratulated the Department of Communication with a new. Something is wrong. I haven't changed at all.
The article which was written about the DA member kissing a goodbye, you know, the goodbye kiss to the chairperson of the committee, that was the makeup between the ANC and the DA. So we're not surprised.
Is that like words in my mouth? But actually, Honorable Chairperson, what I want to comment, what we've heard, what the chairperson and the CEO said to this committee today. I wonder if you will admit that this is actually elementary stuff that should have been done since the beginning of ICASA. It's only this plain managerial thump on the issue stuff. So I think this is very good, and it makes me think that ICASA was in the worst state that we even think of. So this is elementary stuff, and I think, it's easy to say a lot of words, but I think in a couple of months' time, we will see if ICASA is really effective. The independent regulator, we will see that from the industry. Because in the past, the industry said ICASA is not doing the job, we are waiting for months and years for them to react or whatever. But we will get the message very, very clear from the industry. But good luck for the future, and I hope all the other SOEs, especially the SOEC, will follow the steps of ICASA. And I just want to add what Honorable Michael said. This reference numbers and everything, you give me a good idea not to pay my bills. Don't put the reference number there and then they send back my money. So I hope you make sure you get all the money. And that's all. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member Tammy.
I will allow to agree with the opposition in this committee.
Allowed. You've been allowed to kiss each other.
Well,
you've
been allowed to kiss each other.
Thanks. On that note, I think let me commend the entire ICASA team for the sterling job well done. I anticipate when you come next time, will be telling us about the 100%, because you are saying we're left with the 5%. I say thumbs up, ladies and gentlemen, for the well job, the well done. But I just have a few questions to ask. On the metrics on page 12, on the employee cost, I believe it's an error or an omission, because if you are saying about the dates 1 December 2009 and 1 December 2009, then why was it then a matter in the AG's report? Is it not a 2010 instead of 1 December 2009? Because it wouldn't have definitely appeared if it was a matter that was done. The AG wouldn't have raised it. I believe it's an honest mistake or error. Secondly, on page 14, about this issue of cell phone allowances granted to staff members who didn't qualify, I think the issue there was the issue of inconsistencies in the way in which the policy has been applied. My understanding was that that a review won't be necessary, because if it were mere inconsistencies, that means those who were having cell phones who didn't qualify, those cell phones should have just been taken away from them. Because as it is now, if you tell us that you are still reviewing the policy, whereas the AG's main issue was about the inconsistency, is then tantamount to an irregular expenditure. I think it doesn't need a policy review, that one. Then you just need to make sure that the right people have the policy, because we have that policy, who qualify and get the phone. Those who don't, then you need to recover those cell phones from them. The other one is with regard to the irregular expenditure, as was disclosed in page 116 of your annual report. I thought as you will be giving this nice report, you will also tell us how far have you gone, what processes have you taken, because definitely if there is an irregular expenditure, there is somebody who transgressed the law, action is to be taken against that person. And then I thought you would be giving us a progress report, because you are looking at a very huge amount, the 655,000 rand. So I think we need progress on that, on your action to address the issues. Also goes to your issues on material loss through criminal conduct. Yes, you have reported that the employee who did that with regard to the 195,000. You have opened a criminal case, and then you will recover the money from his or her pension fund, the way you said it. I have since sent someone the report. But my interest, I want to know progress, because isn't that since you appear in November now, it's how many months, 3 months down the line now. I would love to hear the progress now. Have you recovered the money? What is the status quo now? So the other one is with regard to your contingent fees, like for liabilities on the on your cases against the CASA. It's on page 141 of the annual report. So it's not under the, my apologies, on page 165, not 26. Though the way you put it, you didn't even also in the report to say, if you can share with us maybe the numbers of the lawsuits you are referring to, attached to that figure of 4 million something, and then the number of those lawsuits and their nature, so that we are able to understand and link it in terms in your, with your performance indicators to say that, now if you are delivering like what you are doing now, why are you having so many lawsuits like this? What could be the causes of such lawsuits? I think that will also assist. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Makazi. Before you respond, because so that I don't delay you, if there is no other round of people who are going to ask. One broader issue which I'm interested in, which was raised last time, was that I think it's the risk committee, where they were saying they were able to identify the transgression. But it could not help because the people which they reported to were supposed to take action, could not do that or do anything. You remember where we came too hard to some of those members who are serving in that to say they sounded like a useless people who cannot do anything, because they said they identified the transgressions, what is happening, what is lacking, but the necessary authority never took up the matter to deal with those issues and so on. Hence, they had that particular problem in terms of the auditing and so on. I just want to find out, how are you managing that? Because I think you can have the structures in place. They were there even before. But you had this witness where they identified the issues, but it's business as usual and so on. The second issue, which I just want to get a clarity. You indicated that you see some of your columns where you've reported, you just say still challenges, but you don't seem to explain what challenges. So you leave us with an open question. You say, you know, we're still having challenges. But we are not saying, I'm sure maybe it was because of time, I suppose. We are not saying what are these challenges which are still remaining. Like the case where we are saying they are part of the five and so on, where you say there is progress, but there are still challenges. In particular, if on your page 3.1, on page 2, you have just indicated that there are still challenges in terms of those issues and so on, but you have not said what are those challenges and so on. So if you want to assist us to do our oversight, at least we should understand what are these challenges which are still there, so that when you come next time, we are able to ask progress on the actual challenges which are there and how do you deal with those particular challenges and so on. If you can be able to help around that. The last one, it might not be the issue which was here, but which is coming up when you engage the other entities and so on. These people who sit in these procurement committees and so on, how often do you rotate them? Because there's a tendency that those people sit there and end up having businesses themselves. But the only thing is that they changed that today is Eric who gets the business. The following business will go to Stella and Abeni. The other one will go to Natasha Michaels and so on. But they rotate. But what I do, are those people there full time? Are you rotating them? Or what exactly do you do with that? Because it's something will become a problem in most of the departments and also entities and so on. How those people end up abusing their stay in those committees and so on. So if you can respond on the all the questions. You can respond.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to touch on just the high-level issues, and then I'll ask the CFO to give the details. Let me start with the last issue around the bed members. We use a supply chain management policy, which is it's actually derived from the National Treasury Regs. Now, in the Treasury Regs, they do indicate clearly the role of the bid evaluation committees. There are two types of committees in that particular process. Now, the membership is not permanent because the new membership that has been established are not members that were there before, but the CFO can elaborate on it. The second thing that I wanted to also illustrate is that all the supply-related bids via my office. So when they via my office, the first thing that I normally will do is to look at the composition of the committee, not on the basis of their role, but on the basis of their technical expertise in relation to a particular bid. And when I realize that there's I can give an example where I've rejected a recommendation from the bid on the basis of people who are not technically inclined to make or express an opinion on a particular bid. Like, for example, the engineering technology division wanted to purchase a software, but the components of the bid members that made the recommendation were not fully inclined in terms of what the software would do. So I'm just trying to indicate the control that I have at my level. And then there's also a control whereby I, as a CEO, I have a particular threshold, and then anything that is above that particular threshold will then go to the council. But I will just ask the CFO to just elaborate in terms of the membership. But let me go, as I said, Chair and honorable members, I'll just chat on the high-level issues, and then he will go into the details. In as far as identification of a transgression, under normal circumstances, you'll follow certain labor relations matters. Even the National Treasury Regulation indicates that if somebody has there's financial misconduct, there are rules or procedures in terms of how to deal with that. So ICASA, as a first step or a point of departure, will start implementing on that particular basis. And because we have a legal division in ICASA, we'll also seek legal advice. Now, some of the cases that I've come across is that once a transgression is identified at a time, there is a timeline that you have to address that particular transgression. If it is not addressed within that specified period of time, let's say you don't address it within the time it has been identified, let's say 30 days, for example, and you take a year, it becomes something that you cannot really manage. So, but those are the things that we are saying we are trying to avoid. And then, again, Dumane or the CFO can elaborate on it. On the issue of, and I'll ask Councillor Sotliko to assist me in this regard, I'll be very honest in terms of the lawsuits against the ICASA to say that I may not want to commit myself to say that these are the figures and this one, but what I can commit myself is to again do my own, go back to the office and do a thorough analysis of the issue, and then through you, Chair, and the honorable members, I can then be able to provide a report on the remaining 5%. And then on the irregular expenditure, yes, again, we have the National Treasury regulations that assist us to deal with irregular expenditures. Now, we have what I call a mini-scope of some sort in ICASA that I have established. All the divisional managers in terms of in finance, they will identify an irregular expenditure. They will bring it to the executive composed of all the general managers, and I'm the one who's chairing that particular committee. We will analyze that particular misconduct, and then we'll give a directive on that basis. If it means immediate suspension of a particular individual, we will make that particular recommendation. So we have a collective approach in terms of dealing with irregular expenditures. The blatant ones where you can deduct it from the person's salary, the law allows us to do those, to take that particular action. And again, Chair and honorable members, I'll ask Duane to assist me in this regard. On the cell phone allowances, well, yes, honorable member and Chair, it is a question of inconsistency, but the inconsistency may also be a question of how the policy has been crafted. Also the way it has been implemented. So the review of the policy is to make sure that we address the problem comprehensively, deal with the inconsistency, and where the inconsistency will insist that that particular individual reimburse the organization. That is standard practice anyway. If that is not happening, well, I'll make sure that happens. But that's standard practice. Where we have maybe an inconsistent. I'll give an example. Regional people that are working in the region, they're field workers. Now, they spend 95% of their work or their time on the field. So they need to be accessible and all that. So in terms of the review, the policy must be able to allow that you can increase their allowances. Because if you just do it as a stopgap, the Auditor General will find us wanting on it. So it must be captured in the policy. And then, going to the issue of the Standard Bank, NetBank, sorry, in terms of whether NetBank comes back to us. There is a communication from NetBank in terms of that kind of report. But we have also proactively, because we are sitting with historical data, to communicate through either using a pro forma or, you know, where the people are contactable or the organization is contactable, we send that kind of information. As you said, it's elementary stuff, but it has to be that because those are the basics that we must get in order. So we are doing that so that we do not lose out on the potential revenue that has to come to the organization. And in terms of the confiscation of assets, we keep a register. Some of the assets that we have confiscated is because of irregular behavior of certain individuals. And then we also have a disposable committee in the organization to say that after a certain period of time, we have to dispose of it. But fortunately, those assets are not recorded on our books, so they will not be reflected on the annual report. Honorable Chair and honorable members, I'll ask the CFO to just go into some of the details. Thank you.
All right. On the issue of the YAG raised the issue of the leaf, which was on page 12 of this progress. The date is actually correct. That is the 1st of December 2009. We started to implement that system during that time. But when the AG came and do the audit, they started from the 1st of April 2009. So in between, there were transactions that were still done manually. And then on the issue of a criminal case, the progress on that one is that we are actually working with the police in terms of the investigation, because our investigation is only managed to get where the information, where the customers were actually complaining. But the police are also doing the investigation, which is more detailed, So the moment the paperwork is actually finalized, we'll be able to submit the full claim. On the issue of the rotation of the bid adjudication committee, which is on the tenders side, our policy says it's 2 years, and they have been rotated within 2 years, and they have been appointed by the CEO through the executive. But what happened is that it was rotated in 2009. But what happened is that only two members, three members who were actually part of the previous bid adjudication committee were included. It's because of the transfer of the skills. That is actually including me as a CFO, because the treasury regulation actually requires that I'm there, so basically it's two people. Just basically for the transfer of the skills. Because it's a little bit technical, but we're not really saying that will be the way to go.
I think I've given, the CEO has already given a lot of answers. Maybe where there's no clarity, I can give a clarity.
So if I get you well, CEO, is that you are going to come back with the details of the losses? You currently don't have the details. Or
no.
If I understood what you said,
no.
You can come back late. the lawsuit is...
Honorable Chairman, we don't have the General Manager legal here with us today. He would have the exact figure or number of cases sitting in court currently. But the question was raised last year and the previous year. And most of these cases are cases that roll over to the next year because they're not concluded. So they accumulate over time. That's the general statement. But in terms of detailed explanation of every court case sitting in court, we'll ask General Manager to write up a report for you and send it to you.
No, we appreciate the report because we might also want to understand the role of whether if you does not appear as postponement and so on. There are many reasons why they might be postponed. It might be the other party, again, it's not your fault and so on. But they would love to know why they are being rolled over so that if it's you, we are able to explain why you are not appearing on those cases and so on, or vice versa.
No, you know, just I just want to explain about DLPs and why it's disclosed as a contingent liability. Now, lawyers will always tell you that the reason why you have to disclose it is because of the uncertainty that there are legal matters which the council is involved in, but they don't really know how much it's going to cost. So you know, but you see, because there is that possibility, you don't know how the matter is going to be resolved. You have to disclose it in the annual report as part of the financial
statement. This is not the biggest COPA in the CEO's office.
But still, we are mindful of that and we are aware of that. We understand that. Now we just want to understand the extent, the nature of those cases, because they've been appearing, like the councillor said. They've been recurring, they've been carrying on. If you look, we are past two previous annual reports apart from this one that we are currently dealing with. They are there. But now we want to understand why are you having such a lot of litigations? That's our rationale behind, like, what the chairperson has said. We want to check whether it's the fault on your side, what are the causes. We want to understand that. It's just one thing that we have got keen interest on.
That's what we are paid to do, the oversight. That's why we want to understand what is happening and so on. Any other question, members? Honorable Van der Berg, Honorable Lazi, Van der Berg.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just for clarity, I just want to go back to the spectrum allocation and everything and the availability of spectrum. When in time? sometime in the future will we have clarity on spectrum. I think the whole industry, the further developments in this technical world you're living in and we're living in, people are waiting to get their hands on spectrum. That's the key issue. No one can do anything in this sector without the availability of spectrum, maybe radio or television and everything. So the big rope, the rope players are sitting in the Wachsprungblocker, what do you call it in English, you understand what I mean, waiting for things to happen. And they all want an equal chance in this whole thing. So, and just give us a couple of words. Are there going to be auctions and etc. etc. I've got the idea that the spectrum in South Africa is like ghost. You know, scum. You know, a lot of people heard of the scum, but no one ever saw it. So we're somewhere around.
I am extremely happy to hear that from Honorable Van der Berg. We attended a GSMA Congress in Barcelona.
Oh. Member,
have all the senior members signed the performance agreement? What is the progress of with the Department of Communication on performance agreement of councillors?
You see, members, maybe they don't want to tell you that they are done with the business of the team. Now they start to ask others, which does not fall within the scope of the program for today. But I will use much discretion to allow you to respond on those issues. It's fine.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to say thank you, Honorable Van der Berg. This is the first time you're not throwing a missile on us. But you are saying something but you are saying something that is very constructive. We attended the GSMA Congress with the Honorable CEO here. And we were not passionate about the broadband. The person who was very passionate on this was Dr. Marcia Sotheka. And often we challenged her without us being fully informed. But after we went to Barcelona, we are 150% convinced that she was spot on. And the process of broadband, whatever permutation it may lead, whether it's auction or beauty, must be given the fullest attention. And I will allow Dr. Sotheka to elaborate a little bit on that one, because it is our flagship program now.
You see, before she elaborates, if we are talking about the spectrum, maybe she will be able to help. There is this spectrum of Centec, which we are told is used by another people, another company. And they are saying it has been reported to ICASA, and it seems to be not acting on that matter. Maybe she can also add on that, because it's an area of concern if that is true for all these years, people using a spectrum not allocated to them and don't seem to be helping and so on. But they also are add on issues.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. On the issue of spectrum, we had really intended to commence the spectrum auction this financial year. We just had many challenges. One of them was finding a suitable spectrum auction specialist to conduct the auction, and they don't come cheap. We eventually found one for roughly $3 million. In terms of the law, Minister of Communications must approve the specialists that we seek to work with from abroad. So all specialists who are located abroad have to be approved by Minister of Communications in terms of the Electronic Communications Act. So we are following that process. If all goes well, we hope at least that a spectrum auction specialist will be appointed this financial year, so they can commence with some amount of work. In terms of how much auction, how much spectrum there is available, there's 125 megahertz available in the 2.6 band, and that is the one that it seems like almost everyone wants, but there's not enough of it. And that's why it has to be subjected to an auction process in terms of the Electronic Communications Act. And then in the 3.5, which is also another one sought after by industry, there's only 28 megahertz left. Telkom has 56, and then I think so has Neotel. And in terms of the 2.6, Semtech has 50 megahertz, and WBS has 15. So in total, the two of them, that is Semtech and WBS, occupy 65 megahertz on the 2.6 band. Yes, there have been many concerns raised about the 50 megahertz held by Semtech. We've had extensive engagements with them to a point we now refer the matter to the CCC, because it is clear to us, based on our communication from Semtech, that there was some arrangement between the two entities, whereby Semtech was paid a certain amount of money for leasing out the spectrum. This is highly illegal. I think Semtech is aware of it. I'm not so sure if Green acknowledges that. They have sent legal papers to us contesting Semtech's claim, and we are quite concerned. We've asked the CCC to expedite the matter. At the same time, we've also asked all the documents from Semtech as to, you know, they've indicated publicly that they've terminated whatever arrangements that they had, and then a clear scrutiny of the documents then raises questions, you know, about whether there was indeed a contract, a legally acceptable contract between Semtech and Screema. So all these questions we've decided not to adjudicate on them as counsel, but to ask a competent tribunal to do so. And hopefully we will have that resolved very soon.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. Just two issues. To close on the spectrum issue, to contextualize it. One is that the world is moving into that space to say that the heart of providing mobile broadband services cannot take place without availability of spectrum. So as a country, we don't have a choice. And from the Congress in Barcelona, it was quite clear that in certain parts, especially the SADC area, we have some challenges there. So, but I think there is a general consensus that you cannot have mobile or internet connectivity or broadband services without honing into spectrum, availability of spectrum. Two is that, just to contextualize also what the Sotigo was indicating, that the approach in terms of appointing an international organization was done through a supply chain management process. Now, the law requires that if you appoint an international organization, besides what the price may be, you still need the minister, client minister of that organization, of that public entity, in this case the Department of Communication, and the Minister of Finance to agree that we should appoint that particular external organization. And we should also justify the rationale for appointing an international organization and why have we left out a local organization. So there is a process in place where the minister has actually raised those issues with ICASA, and we are in the process of responding to that particular matter. The issue of performance agreements, that one is in place. The cost, total cost to company approach will also even assist to streamline the actual deliverables of each and every senior manager and general manager. So that is in place. in a part of the counselors, I'm not going to behave like a counselor, but I know there is a process between DOC and the counselor and the chair whereby a PMS system has been proposed to ICASA to look at what the ministers wants to see ICASA doing. And ICASA has to look at how they will respond to what the minister wants ICASA to do. And in turn, out of that process, we will then derive our a corporate strategy which we will present in March, and that corporate strategy will be informed by the PMS. So that is the process that we are that is unfolding now.
You see, members, you are happy. I can see that there's a lot of improvement from ICAS, from the time they come and make their presentation and so on. But I'm sure the jury is still out there moving forward. How do you behave and so on? But I would say maybe to on the issue of the fintech issue, maybe we request that when you come for your strategic plan, you give us a full report in terms of what is happening, because it's a worry. In fact, the problem is that it continues to say you have limitation in terms of acting, because monitoring of this license condition is what the customer must do. Now, if a person transgresses the license condition, and you're supposed to monitor that, and it takes this long to deal with the matter, it then casts doubt in terms of your ability to monitor and other things and so on. But it's not the matter now which maybe can be able to finish. But I would hope that when you come for your strategic plan, if maybe you can have a rider around this issue so that we are clear how things are moving forward and so on. We will also engage them when they come, vigorous around the particular issue of the spectrum and so on, which they seem to be using for other things or borrowing it to other people and so on. So with that, members, I'm sure that we are done with the presentation. Chairperson?
Honorable Chair, thank you for the spirit of collegiality that prevailed right through this presentation. To close my remarks, I just want to say that on the 15th and 16th March, we are having a very big conference on the people with disabilities, which is going to be organized in Gauteng, and will be highly honored if you and the honorable portfolio members could attend if your schedule permits. But if you cannot come, keep us in prayer so that this must go extremely well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks very much for your presentation, the work which you have done. I remember we forced you to work through December. You said you want to work later, but you said you must work through December so that you are able to present this progress report and so on. Members, I just received an application from the ANC which requests that on Tuesday we should not deal or go to the formal deliberation of the post office bill. There are issues which they are still considering. Then maybe we'll schedule it for a later date, which means Tuesday then we'll have to deal with the formal deliberation on the SAPC. We'll have our task team meeting 30 minutes before the meeting of the committee and so on to deal with the issues. So if that is acceptable from the party. We are done, members. We continue to surprise ourselves, but I can see something is coming in for you. You can just wait, because when I sign for this expenditure, I might also be charged for fruitless expenditure, but I was happy because they are always fruit, so it can't be fruitless expenditure. Those fruits will always be there. So, thanks very much, members. Thanks very much, ICASA. Also, because we know that we're supposed to come tomorrow, we requested you agency to come for today, and we've cooperated to come today. So, thanks very much. We are done.